All right, so get this. We've got a lone tombstone, right, in Wisconsin. And somehow it unlocks the Irish ancestry of, wait for it, Tim Walz, you know, the VP candidate.
Yeah.
Wild, huh?
It really is a testament to the power of genealogy. You think it's all just dusty old family trees, but really it's like, you know, detective work in a way.
Exactly. And our guide for this deep dive, Megan Smolenyak, she gets that. I mean, this is the woman who traced Obama and Biden's roots. She's a pro. And in this article, she breaks down how she uncovered Walz's Irish heritage.
And let me tell you, it's not as easy as just hopping on Ancestry.com and boom, there it is. Smolenyak, she really emphasizes how tough it is to trace Irish ancestry, especially for families who got to the U.S., like during or even before the Great Famine. Records from back then, forget about it.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. So how'd she do it? Well, she uses this strategy, surround and conquer. Really interesting. Especially when you hit a wall with, you know, the direct line.
Imagine it like, you know, a siege, but instead of an army, it's like information. You surround the problem, explore all the family connections around your target ancestor, mm-hmm. spouses, godparents, anyone who might have left a more substantial paper trail.
Like a game of genealogical Clue. And in this case, the breakthrough, it came when they shifted focus from Walz's father's side, the Sullivans, to his mom's family, the Doyles.
And that's where these indirect connections really shine. Smolenyak starts tracing the godparents, right? Yeah. And believe it or not, this leads to a huge discovery, a website with transcribed parish records from Kilmore.
And those parish records, man, those are like gold for genealogists.
Yeah.
Especially with Irish ancestry.
For sure. Parish records, they often have births, baptisms, you name it. But like we were saying, finding those records, especially from the early 1800s, good luck.
Which makes this discovery even cooler. And these aren't just any parish records. They actually include the godparents' names.
Which is huge. Think about it. Godparents, they were usually close family or friends, right? So yeah. Their names, they're like stepping stones. Especially when you're dealing with common Irish names, like Doyle.
So much can hinge on a single detail. It's amazing. And Smolenyak uses all of this to trace the Doyles back generations. It's like she's painting a picture of their life in Ireland.
And here's where it gets even more interesting. She finds that the Doyles, they lived in three different townlands, Crossgales, Pludbaugher, and Grey Robin, all clustered together in County Wexford.
Now, for those who don't know, townlands, they're these teeny tiny old land divisions in Ireland. Think of them like puzzle pieces that make up the bigger parishes.
And you got to understand how those townlands fit into the parishes. Super important for Irish research. So what does Smolenyak do? She pulls out the big guns, historical maps. Specifically, she uses this website by John Grenham, another legend in the genealogy world, and she overlays maps of both Catholic and Silk parishes.
And suddenly this all becomes really visual. Like I can almost see these maps, you know, with their boundaries and faded names.
And that difference between civil parishes and Catholic parishes, that's key. Civil parishes, they were the government's doing. Catholic parishes, though, sometimes they were older with different boundaries, different records, too. A researcher's dream and nightmare all rolled into one.
Two puzzle boxes, but only one puzzle to solve.
Exactly. But in this case, the maps, they show that all three of the Doyle townlands, they were inside this one civil parish, Tom Haggard. And as Smolenyak dives into Tom Haggard's history, she stumbles upon this, like, gold mine of information, the Buches Project.
Now, if you don't know about the Duchess Project, listeners, write this down. It's this amazing online archive, Irish folklore, local history, the works, the kind of stuff that brings the past to life.
A treasure trove for anyone who's into social history or just, you know, curious about how people lived way back when.
And buried in this archive, Smolenyak finds essays written by school children in Tom Haggard back in the 1930s. Talk about a blast from the past.
Oh, yeah. And these essays, they give you this incredible snapshot of daily life.
Yeah.
What it was like to live in that community, the relationships, everything.
For example, there's this whole story about Father Mailer, a priest who was murdered in Tom Haggard back in the 1650s. During a time when, you know, religion was a really tense subject, a good reminder that even a place that seems peaceful now has a complicated past.
And that past, it's still present today. These essays, they also mention mass paths. Basically, secret rites Catholics used to get to mass when their religion was, well, let's just say, not exactly welcome.
And get this. Some of those mass paths, they're still there. The past connecting to the present like that. Amazing.
It really makes you think, right? History, it's not just in books. It's all around us.
Totally. Okay, but hold on, because the story doesn't end there. We know the Doyles were in Tom Haggard in the early 1800s, but they left for America in the 1850s. Did they stay in Tom Haggard that whole time? That's what Smolaniak wants to find out in the, as she calls it, final lap of her research. And the answer, oh, you're not going to believe this.
This is where that surround and conquer strategy really, like, proves itself. Remember how Smolaniak, she's all about the details? Right, well, she goes back to Ellen Doyle's obituary, the one that first pointed to Wisconsin, remember? And this time, a tiny little detail, it just jumps out.
Oh, I love that. It's like the best kind of aha moment. What was the detail?
The obituary, it mentioned Ellen's son, John. He died in Wisconsin sometime before 1899. Now, you might think, so what? But Smolaniak, she had this hunch.
Like when you're putting a puzzle together and you can just feel the two pieces almost fit?
Exactly. She decided, I'm going to find John's tombstone. She used some other family records, narrowed it down to Madison, Dane County. Still, like, a total long shot.
Finding a needle in a haystack would be easier, right?
Right. But here's the thing. She found it. And this, oh man, this is where it gets really good. The inscription on John's tombstone. Clear as day, it says he was a native of Tom Haggard.
No way. Talk about closure. She doesn't just prove the Tom Haggard link, which, wow. But she does it from thousands of miles away with this one single piece of evidence. It's kind of beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It really shows you. Genealogy, you can't predict it. Sometimes the biggest discoveries, they come from the places you least expect.
Makes you think about other big reveals, like, what about when they found Obama's Irish ancestors? Didn't Smolaniak help with that one, too?
She did. That was another one. Meticulous research plus a little bit of luck equals, boom, transatlantic discovery.
And just like with Tim Walz, it all came down to a single tombstone, this time in Ohio.
It's incredible, right? These seemingly ordinary stones, they hold these huge connections to the past.
Right. It's like history isn't just in museums. It's woven into everything, hidden in plain sight, just waiting for someone to, you know, uncover it.
It's like these tombstones, they were practically begging to be found. But that's the thing, right? If Tim Walz's family story can be this, I don't know, full of twists and turns, imagine what we'd find digging into our own families.
Like the beauty of it. You don't have to be famous. Everyone's family tree, it's got drama, surprises, connections to history, you name it. It's true. I mean, we all come from somewhere. And those journeys, guaranteed they weren't all like smooth sailing. There were probably hard times, migrations, maybe even a scandal or two tucked away in those family branches.
And these days, with all the online archives, the DNA tests, the historical societies, it's never been easier to start piecing your own story together.
Exactly. You might find a link to some major historical event,
mm-hmm.
or unearth a lost heirloom, or even just understand what your ancestors went through. So much better. And like that connects back to you, doesn't it?
It all feeds into who you are. Absolutely.
It's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it. Like Smolaniak says, what seems insignificant in your own family history, it might be a clue to something bigger, you know?
Oh, yeah. That old photo with your great-grandparents acting weird. That recipe book with all the notes in the margins. Clues, clues, clues.
So what are you waiting for? Listeners, this is your sign to embrace your inner history buff. Don't let those stories just fade away. Ask questions, go through those photo albums, see what you can dig up.
You never know. You might just have your own genealogical mystery on your hands. Honestly, there's nothing quite like solving it.
And there you have it, folks. Sometimes the most fascinating journeys are the ones that lead us right back to where we came from. Until next time, happy digging, everyone.